just say, let's just start out. It's okay. The low-hanging fruit, and the immediate things we can do right now, move stock divisions out of that green linear thing. Put it in the planning commission, put it into the DRB, and they move. So they get reviewed by the public. Right now, they're not reviewed by the public. That's one thing we should do.
So that's
all there's anybody can do.
That's a process change.
Yeah, that can be done.
When do you want to see it? I love this. Okay. We've heard this.
At least three times.
Okay.
When do we start?
No.
I was going to say
no.
A preliminary review of preliminary design.
Preliminary plan?
Right.
Okay.
And they and there's a go, no go on that. And
you have to change the ordinance because
that's
just
that's fine.
Okay. Is that before the hearings members? Before the staff report.
One of the things we have encouraged applicants to a design review board to do is to actually have a pre-preamp.
Okay.
And it's like come in with your concepts so we can talk conceptually about what we're thinking. And then you can benefit from our input. And then you can start your design process.
But here's the question. When people come to your projects, come to your school, when they come to you guys, do you feel like they come with the first set of information or the So by doing the pre-app, we're trying to avoid that one. And this is also what you have to do.
Okay, what I'm trying to point out is it's a process that eventually weeds out bad projects.
Yes.
Or converts mediocre projects to better projects. And the pre-app, and I kind of look at if I was presenting something to a client, you come in, you have an original idea, it passes or it doesn't, you modify it, you go back again. But I think the review process needs some power and some strength to the ordinance. And I think there should be a mandated process with multiple steps involved, and with the eventual, at some point along the way, a goal or no goal. Is that acceptable or not acceptable?
It's not a recommendation. It's actually a decision.
Yeah. It's either go on, it looks good, or thumbs down.
So let me just ask Heather, what happens in the pre-app for subdivisions currently?
So right now they just meet with planning and development engineer at a pre-application meeting.
Roles,
that's it. And then they can come in and apply anytime after the pre-application meeting.
Okay. But when we get towards the end, I would love to see that their staff report does not give a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a staff report. And then after the review, this is what these boards have to say, and then the recommendation can be made.
You should definitely be in there. You should be in there.
Can I just say something, because I think it's helpful to understand what is supposed to be working and what the city intended in terms of the planning department gets this. They deal with it, right? So right now it's like we're relying on you to do all of the work in making sure it's consistent with code, right? And the comp plan. When it comes to the DRB, and they're like checking your work,
they're looking at designs, right?
Well, you guys don't do anything with designs. I just want to understand.
Sure, that's a great question. So we look at the design guidelines, but we really rely on
the DRB.
Absolutely. And a DRB brings an element that I brought to codify. Uh-huh. You guys bring so much more to the table than the guidelines. You guys really bring a different perspective that I think has its own merit in ways that we need to have codified as well.
Yes, right.
Because they bring the guidelines are just that
right. So these guys are advising you, right, the planner.
Right.
Here's what we think. Right. And you're taking that and saying to the applicant, here, this is what you need to do.
No, we're telling the developer.
Yeah, they come to the meeting just so you know. We're both at the table.
All right.
Yeah.
So then what's the purpose of the planning commission then after that? So that's just what I understand the process.
Well, we're talking about a new process. So.
No, I know, but I want to understand the old process to figure out what's not working.
Right.
And then what's the idea for how to fix it? And I get this. You're already fixing it, Don, but I'm trying to understand where it's broken.
It's broken in that there's no authority.
No blackening.
There's no power.
There's no power.
Okay,
it's
so
just advisory only.
So I heard
what's
that.
What's the main distinction of that? In other words, how does that work itself out to creating a result that we don't like? What's the result that we don't like?
There's a weeding process.
There's a weeding process, or a winnowing, or it's like, I was trying to think of it, trimming the tree kind of process.
We, at the design review board, we have felt that there is actually a lack of respect for the design review board from many applicants because they know that it really doesn't matter what we say.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter what we recommend because we're not giving that project a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Which is the same as us, right?
That is the first issue that I feel like any changes that we're doing here have got to reinforce that the Planning Commission has a lot of things that are valid to be said about a project, and so does the Design Review Board. And
but the result of that, Alan, is not of not being taken seriously, or you're... How does that translate into what happens? What do we end up with?
They're not just a box on the list, but they have to check off the box.
Yeah. So we get subdivisions, we get developments.
Well, because we actually projects designed with...
We don't have subdivisions.
We don't get subdivisions. The project on Erickson is almost a perfect example.
It is.
Are you familiar with that one on Erickson that's right next on the street?
The one they showed.
Yeah. That thing just defied all sorts of logic for us, and
it didn't meet the
Erickson. Didn't meet anything.
Erickson just was
the historic overlay there. They didn't have to conform to any of the code, the overlay guidelines whatsoever. And he actually kind of said, "I don't have to worry about this. I can just make it."
It was an HTTP project.
Yeah. And HTTP, because the HTTP, as far as I remember, was the route to getting a subdivision. Because
once
it was subdivided through the HTTP process, they were single-family homes. Single-family homes aren't actually.
And so it was everything about that. We didn't want. There was nothing creative about it. Nothing that added to the neighborhood, and just chalk and block next to each other. Everything about it was a negative project. If we could have just even the overlay, the historic overlay guidelines would have changed that project.
So what I hear are a couple of like can do right now. One is DRB touches every subdivision.
Right.
Okay. We can probably, I don't know, you have to change code, but it doesn't matter. But what I heard is we want to see every subdivision, okay? We want to create a new process for review of these things through the DRB and the Planning Commission. We don't exactly know what that is, but there's got to be a better process. And how do we also have, how did you say it?
Decision-making authority?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
More of a rough than a recommendation.
To the middle, which is the middle, which was we need design standards to be changed.
Okay.
Otherwise, we don't know what we legally can review. Because we can get an authority.
Yeah.
Do we have to stand on
right.
what
the code says.
There's another piece of this puzzle, which is why we started this pre-app. Bring in your concepts. We don't want to look at a subdivision after they've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on engineering. We just spent $25,000 designing that stormwater pond.
Right.
Can I throw in another quickie?
Yeah.
We also deeply believe that we should review all public works projects.
Okay.
And I don't know if we ask all of you.
Okay.
Any sort of buildings are concerned.
Yeah.
City buildings.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we can encourage people to bring concepts, I'm saying plural concepts.
Yeah.
We can talk about which of their site plan ideas for their subdivision are creative, are looking to do something, really interesting, or what is just following the engineering rules. Because if all the subdivisions are doing it is just following the engineering rules and they bring it to us, and we go, okay, well.
But that means a lot of changing of the code, which is a problem. So we have to figure out how to do that. The one thing we could do really quickly is say, the City Council could do it next week, say any project that increases the density below above the existing zoning is subject to approval by the planning commission.
Okay.
And it's a subjective thing, but they're getting a big bonus. It should be a subjective review. Guarantees.
Some jurisdictions have planning commission as the decision maker. So you're saying for those projects, the planning commission would be the decision maker.
The zoning is fairly high. You lose a fair amount that already is consistent with the zoning.
Well, no, those we would be reviewing the other way. That we get the absolute power because the state law has a lot to do with
absolute with
subdivision.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to be really careful how we do a subdivision.
And I've heard
getting bonuses.
Yeah, I've heard a consistent dislike of the HDD thing. So why don't we just put that on our list of
I think we should also look for an alternative
site. We'll make a house that would have a HDD.
I think one of the problems with HDDP is that the council thinks and sees it as a good way to get low income housing, or low income housing, which could be. But I don't think that positive makes up for the negatives of what we see
on the density for 10%.
For 10%.
And it was potential because that was during the downturn when nothing was being built. So it's an entirely different environment.
It's supposed to sunset in 2019?
Yes.
Okay. Needs to sunset sooner.
I
think we can reduce that.
Not 7, it's
all right.
Can I just get something off my chest?
Sure.
Right now.
Go for it.
Since it's Gary's over there.
Okay.
We can't spend the next 9 months trying to decide what are we going to do. We've got to get on with it.
Right.
And so we put some framework on the table.
Sure.
Because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Over and over again, we need to get down and do the work. And I was glad it was recognized, but that is very close to the format of the comprehensive plan. I mean, it's.
When we met at a normal Monday meeting, I think we were thinking that we would come up with, because we were kind of maybe ahead of the planning commission in thinking about this, we've been talking about it a lot, that we could come up at this meeting with the criteria for how to select a consultant. I mean, we're 3 months into the moratorium.
Yeah.
It's going to be another 3 months for a consultant, and we don't even know what we want the consultant skills to be. I think if we could get that out there very quickly, at least get that process going.
So I think we're moving on to positive traits. I think we've identified five priorities, right? Do we have about the DRB and the PC seeing projects I've heard three times. We want to see them early in the process.
Right.
We want the planning commission to be able to
concept level.
Conceptual level. Yes.
Let's get that in now.
Perfect. We want to have conceptual thing. We want to have the planning commission as a decision maker on some of the projects. We also want to increase your authority, so you're more than just a recommending body, however and whatever that looks like. And then we also want to remove the HJP. So I think we've got five, which is awesome, and we're moving on the process. Is everybody?
Just trying to edit something you said.
Okay, please.
Because it was confusing in the diagram that was up on the wall.
Okay.
It said that it showed that the design review board was making a recommendation, and it looked like we were making a recommendation to the planning commission. That is not the way it's working. We're making a recommendation to the director, planning director, and then it's up to him what he passes on.
I don't think planning ever knows.
We don't know
what I never see anything.
No, we
well, I always worried
you would be actually seeing it. Yeah, that's okay.
We're going to move on and change that?
Well, we think that should be changed.
Yeah, so that's another. The Planning Commission and DRB are decision-making bodies, not recommending bodies, right?
Those are we can do in-house, and I'm not looking around.
I'm doing the city council.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to get everybody's input. Separate from the consultant and the guidelines themselves, process we can propose a draft in-house for your review. That's something we can tackle as well. I heard you describe. So there is a project that's Suzuki, is it? That's meant to be affordable housing.
Right.
The mechanism to create that is HUDP. If we get rid of it, there's no mechanism to say
we need to come up with
it. So I don't think we want to get rid of it. I think we want to change the decision making process.
Okay.
So that if it was the Planning Commission or somebody had the say, it's not like meet the criteria, two little boxes here and you have a little parking space over here. That has to be the concept.
Because that's how it's actually presented to the DRB. Okay, DRB, you're going to fill out the checklist. And that's what I'd like to say.
But if you look at the HDP, the four tiers, the top two tiers rarely have ever been reviewed. Herbcliff is the only one, and that was a tier three project. If you just keep tier three and tier four, you resolve 90% of the problems.
You could do that also, but we haven't quite just get rid of that.
No,
that's affordable housing.
I agree with you. Do you hope this affordable housing is possible without it?
Well, we need to reward this, and so that's a creating a new thing. We have
something in already in the process.
Maybe we could just let in affordable housing, 100% affordable projects, or some kind of...
Well, tier 3 is 50%, tier 4 is 100%.
Right.
And so, meaning tier 1 and 2, it's all the rest of it.
Is that something we kind of... Maybe.
But back to his point about not going to bathe at the bathwater, you know, not get rid of HDPs. Our problem with the DRB is when we get a project, it's supposed to be for community values.
Yes.
We don't know what those are. They're not well described. It ends up being, by default, density. That, from the developer's perspective. And if we, maybe instead of getting rid of HDPs, maybe what we do is try to rewrite them and try to identify what are the community values that we're putting out front. If there's a way to preserve some open space or do things or put in a trail that connects, you know, but things that are positive values, then we might be willing to bump everything in.
Well, it seems to be part of the thing we run into with HDDP. We're missing some teeth because the scoring, as we found out, is very subjective.
Yeah,
and
so you get punched for nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember you all used to make the final decision on points when you were a DRB member,
yes,
right?
Yes, we used to decide.
So would that be a change if we were to keep
but
it?
But it's still these silly points that are like a car charging station.
So
I mean, that's all done at home. No, I mean, the technology is that cars get charged in your garage. They don't get charged. They have no drive. Like that Walls cottages, who's going to use that car charger?
Right. So what I'm hearing is we're not EDP. Mark has concerns that if we were to toss it out today and not do anything quickly, like redo it, Suzuki's in jeopardy of I don't know what. But, so I hear those two things, and it's like, so what's the recommendation? Redo, completely redo the HDDP scoring, keep tier 3 and 4, what are we talking about?
Okay, the solution to what you just described is that if there is a project which is in process, it can complete the process.
For the HDDP?
Yeah.
With a lot of scrutiny.
If the Suzuki project is dependent upon it, then you don't, I'm suggesting you don't take applications from there.
If we really wanted to get definitive, we'll just say, can't fall for it.
So can I bring up a new thing that really irks me? Is the CUP stuff. That is like so crazy.
Okay.
So I don't know what we need to do with those conditional
use. Made that planning commission decision.
Okay.
And you get the community's voice heard, and you get the community to help make that decision. It's not just based on criteria and some code.
So
the issue I see with the conditional use permit is somebody comes in like the Waldorf school. We want a school in the residential neighborhood. We have to get a conditional use permit. And the staff says, okay, you meet this, you meet that, you meet that, we do this, we fix the transportation, and we think we can give you the CUP. And here's additional conditions. Planning Commission gets it with the staff recommendation, and we're like, I don't know. So one planning commissioner was like, this whole thing of conditional use permits about putting the school in a residential neighborhood.
So it's interesting that Design Review Board, before you guys got it, we reviewed it.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of hard effort.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew it was a CUP problem. And it could go away. Why did we review it? Because it's out of order. We're reviewing it when that could be a killer local.
Wait a minute. I think you were reviewing it because it's a school in a residential neighborhood. Not that it was a CUP.
They're reviewing because it was site plan review.
Thank you.
Actually,
the way the process works is a little it seems a little backwards, but it seems like it should also be at the end. I've always, in other places, I thought planning commission is the end of the road.
All right.
And you say it goes or it doesn't go.
Right.
But you would follow it from a very early time as well.
We don't follow it.
That's what we think should happen.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
But the hearings then would come from fear of litigation on the city's part. So they move this thing onto this judge who then looks at the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And says, it meets the rules. We don't care what it looks like. We don't care what the community thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Meets the rules, you get it.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to all our projects.
Yeah.
No matter what we say.
I personally think if you have the right zoning, why do you need this conditional use exception? You either meet the zoning or you don't.
No, it has to do with giving conditions.
So what?
It mitigates the impact.
Right. So that's the whole concept. Are you mitigating the impact or not? And if you're not, you get a denial. And if the planning commission says, here's the part. The planning commission says, I don't think you're meeting the necessary conditions.
And then we're supposed to add conditions.
Or say, we don't think you can.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And then it's just a recommendation. Then it goes to the hearings examiner.
And they'll get it. The
1%. But the idea of having that, there's nothing in my mind wrong with having conditional use permits. Because that's just, nothing is so finite that the zoning is going to stay just as it is. You're always going to have conditional use permits.
Yeah, it's always oddball things.
Yeah. I mean,
a conditional use permit is a valuable tool.
It is.
And
well, then maybe the way what's going on is
the transportation thing was meeting level of road standards, these things always go, okay, good. I mean, I'm like, what? You know, Visconti, this, every time there's a traffic study, it always passes.
Well, if it creates gridlock, it won't pass. But if nothing is going to create gridlock on the side,
well, I love it.
It's always going to pass.
Right. I mean, it should be we could say we don't want anything that drops the level of service below the sea. We don't have, we're allowed to go to an 80, I think.
Would it be rather easy for planning to see things early on? Maybe when we see things early on? Could there be a meeting where everybody
is together?
A joint meeting,
and that's a good question that I would like to hear from you all is when, if you all do get involved in the process early, will you all ever be together? Do you all want to form a subcommittee? Do we want the applicant to come to your meeting? Do we do a separate meeting? So how do you all envision that?
I think you guys who have dealt with us two committees maybe could come up with some ideas, because the last time we talked about this at Planning Commission, you know what we were told? You guys are on the listserv for the DRB, or the listserv for land use actions, so all you got to do is click on this or check their meetings and then go to their meetings. And I was like, that's not happening. We're all busy people, and you're asking us to take the initiative to go to all these different websites, open the applications, look at them ourselves, and then like show up for another meeting. So I'm like, okay, we gotta fix that. So I don't know if you guys have a suggestion on, given what we've told you, what would you recommend would be an efficient use of everybody's time, the applicant, the staff, the committees?
The developer, the people doing these projects, we feel will benefit from it as one.
Can I just point out that when we have initiated these concept meetings, the process, the clock hasn't actually started.
It's free.
It's a freebie.
Okay.
They're not under any stress.
And they like it.
They like it a lot.
In the sense of
they can only get $1,000 an hour. Consultation,
right.
With design professionals and advisors. But what they are leaving with is just the information from that work session. It's not starting the official record for the project, because the next step is we come back for the pre-app.
But they'll leave knowing kind of where we're coming from.
Right.
And I think that'd be very important for planning to have the same impact on these.
Yeah, we got some great success.
So let me ask you right now, that's the applicant's choice.
Correct.
Does
everyone go for
a lot of people do. We actually have someone that wants to bring a subdivision before you guys, which I think is pretty exciting.
Do you have some people who are like, no thanks?
Sure. I think there's more people that are interested in coming than not.
That's good.
And they might want to regularly come to Planning Commission meetings. You all can have maybe at the beginning of your meetings where they do a little presentation.
Well, I have to tell you that could like no longer be like an incentive when they understand we're a decision making body. They'll all be running it.
Sure. That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point.
What we have found is that it actually makes the process go smoother further down the road when it actually started spending money. We were trying to be sensitive to the fact that you don't have to start a big dollar clock on consultants money in order to sit around the table and talk about a concept. And they were so you don't even necessarily need to come to a drawing, just tell us where the site is and what's in your mind.
Understanding of what are the guidelines from the codes.
But before we break up, it would seem to me that of all the things we've talked about,
it's not going to make a difference until we saw the top one on the second page, lack of respect. Because I don't care how many times you see it, if people don't respect the comments that you say,
they don't have a reason.
It has to be solved.
It's, in a sense, it's a power thing.
Yeah.
If the words have power, they have to listen, or they don't have to listen. And if they don't,
well, we get our power from the city council, right? The planning commission, I guess, the DRB too. So the city council has to be the source of power.
The one place I think a meeting, and maybe it was a joint meeting, could be useful, is where you require these public meetings for these. And so as public meetings become just sort of a builder or developer selling the project to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood doesn't feel like they have any power to say anything. If it was really a meeting that was either run by the planning commission or the DRB, then they're selling it to them also, but
that you would let the public speak and the public would have some more.
So we have, you know, with the public come in quite often.
I'd say, but they have this formal meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think, waste of.
That's a sales meeting.
A marketing meeting.
So if we could, let's move on to Joe's preach the subject first. How do we make this happen? How do you all want to be involved as we start moving some of these ideas forward? Do you all want to have more meetings like this where you all come together? Do you want a consultant, as you mentioned, to take these ideas? Do you think that we could work together with staff? And we've got a lot of talent in this community. Do we need to form an ad hoc committee? You know, we have ad hoc committees that are looking at affordable and green building. And do we need an ad hoc committee that looks at this process? What are your thoughts?
We're actually ad hoc. We are actually inviting some island architects to come to our design review board meeting on our next meeting, April 2nd, I think it is, to actually talk about smart growth and whether they see that this would give them...
And some of these issues, too.
This would give them the strength that they need in dealing with their clients. We hear from some of the architects that, you know, they would like to say no to their client.
But they can't say
no to their client because they can't say the design review board is never going to go for that. Because
it doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter. And so it would actually, this notion of empowering the design review board, empowering the planning commission, would actually empower the design teams on the island to be able to advise their clients more wisely about what is going to be acceptable development on David Island.
We're also going to talk to them about this stuff because for architects this isn't necessarily a rosy little book. It's too restrictive for some architects. So that's another thing we're going to talk to get a feel.
I have a crazy idea that I don't know if it would work or not, but could we add that projects have to be found to be consistent with that manual?
No, because that's not perfect.
If you read the book, if you take some time to look at it, there's a whole section on how to revise codes based on the principles of concepts. And that's the point, is that we've already got a comp plan.
Right.
And we all know that the codes are woefully inadequate.
Right.
So there's a whole section in here that talks about the process of going from what we already have.
I think they have two that are going to do that.
That's where we want to go.
So that's who does that?
There's consultants that do it.
They have to get a consultant.
No, but they have
looking at the guidelines?
Well, wait a minute, because you know what? On the planning commission, when we get this, you know, what are we doing this year and what's the city doing?
Right.
Every time we talk about codifying the comp plan, it goes down to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
So I understand, I know. So that's another, like, it's gotta happen yesterday.
Right.
So you guys hire a consultant, get it done, run the comp plan with that, let us take a look at it, and let's get some new data out there because this is just crazy. But we have, how long has the comp plan been in place?
A
But don't worry about it.
It's 8 o'clock. The other group is wrapping up, but they want 5 more minutes.
Okay, that's good.
So would you like to be in the process of selecting a consultant, helping us with the
I think you would benefit by having a member of the Planning Commission and a member of the Design Review Board in the interviews for the consultants.
Terrific.
I mean, that's how we select our new DRV members.
Typically, they are another city council person. And this consultant is going to do what? What are you tasking them?
So that's the question about the gap analysis.
Yeah, I'm going to go in
and see, look at the codes and the gap between the new comp plan.
Right, we just got consultants to do that.
So what consultant are you asking for?
I'm asking for a consultant that creates a new framework within which the design guidelines live. And it's based on our new
I'm not for this idea. I mean, we had consultants, we had a consultant for the LID. The LID committee, I don't feel good. The problem is that they take a really long time and they don't understand the community. So you need people who understand the community. The most effective committee I've ever been on is this LID tree committee because it has three council members on it. We have three council people on it. It's going to create policy that gets passed.
Is that another suggestion?
Yeah, so I think we should have a high-level committee, three council members, a DRB, planning commission, and we need to really look at the problems and come up with some...
I mean, when we first started talking about this,
so maybe two and two, we said, okay,
how much of this can be done by June?
And then I think we get a lot
of the company that they hired is a big hitter consultant that does this stuff.
And they have offices
in many places right now. So I can't imagine they wouldn't have some sort of expertise in, you know, somebody who's familiar with this.
I'm sure.
In design, so I think it would be great for that kind of committee, but not how to empower, you know, not how to work through, how do you create that, all the series of things, and how do you empower the people, how do we put that legislation in place? That's what we need this other committee for, that really, you know, how do you get power to the design review board, how do you get power to the planning commission, you know, what is the real process we're going to go through?
So, Heather, Jim had asked Gary what he thought, right? And so I would like to hear from you, given your knowledge and experience about how things work, what's working, and if we were in charge, what would you fix?
I think the most immediate thing that we could fix to address the concerns I've heard is getting the design review board and planning commission involved early. I think that would help the most, and then having the applicants present. We tried this with private apartments. We thought, let's have the applicant have an opportunity to come to you guys early. You're not making a decision. It's a presentation. You can bounce ideas off each other and then come back to you. While you've been able to kind of sit on it for a little while and then have the project before you for a review and recommendation. I've worked places where the Planning Commission is the decision-making authority, so I'm interested in seeing that again. You know, there's pros and cons to that for everyone involved, right? Because that's a lot of power you would have, which is scary. But I can see where you can look at things a little bit more broadly when it's a commission rather than singular, but you need code that allows that. More holistic look. Like, we had this one standard that said, is this project compatible with the neighborhood? That was a standard. It was so broad, and I think it addresses a lot of your all's concerns. how do you make that finding?
Gather around in the council chambers, and then what
so
would like is one of you kind of summarize
No,
but I mean, the things we put up, they capture some of the things that you shared with us.
I think it would give you all a lot more. How do you get that standard in place? So can we put that on our list? Neighborhood compatibility. Can we put that on our list?
Was it effective?
Yes. Because it requires the DRB to study it. Right? Something that